Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Good evening once again. It's Tuesday night. It's 20 past 8. And it means one thing. This is Otto Knows Better.
Hi, this is Don Matteo, and you are listening to the Otto Know Better podcast. Let's do this. Hi, this is...
That was my fault.
Good evening. Welcome back. It's Tuesday night. Can I mean one thing? We're back with another Otto Knows Better podcast. Lots to talk about tonight. And joining me once again this evening, we've got Jay. Good evening, Jay.
You all right, mate?
Not bad. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. Made us a little late, but, you know, I did all the hard work as well, so I get a bit of credit.
Excellent. And, of course, we've got the famous Carl. Carl, good evening.
How are you doing, Stats? You all right, bud?
Very well. All good to see you.
Also, Luke's
going to be joining us tonight, but I think he's got a presentation to do. So if you want to get in on your comments and you want to tell Luke where his priorities lie, yeah, do feel free. Luke,
exactly. He should be putting this ahead of his job.
Yeah, and also, you'll have to go to our YouTube channel to watch this if you want to comment as well. So just pop to our YouTube channel and hit the subscribe button while you're there.
There you go. So, yeah, Carl and Jay are with us tonight. And as always, only one place to start, the Prediction League.
Yay.
Otto Know Better predictions.
It's seamless, Jay. It's fucking seamless.
Do you know, I was sat here and my eyes were scanning and I was looking for it. I was thinking, shit, I need to find this quick now. He's just said it. And then, you know, almost there. Nobody would have noticed, Carl, if you'd just left it alone.
Now, I know I obviously went for a 2-1 Leeds win last night. I don't know what everybody else went for. And I think I'm losing my little place. I think I'm probably doing a Tottenham, really, at the top of the league. I get into a good position and I Spurs it.
Well, yeah, there is that.
So, Jay, what are the scores on the doors?
All right, so the list that Gilly has kindly sent me over here, we've got Adam, who went 3-1 leads, 0 points. Bren, 1-1 draw, so he gets 3 points. Gilly, 3-2 leads, 0 points. Myself, 2-1 leads, 0 points. In fact, you know, Smarty got a 2-2 draw, so he gets 3 points. Everyone else got 0 points. So we've got Carl, you got given a 3-1. Luke, 3-1. Render, 3-1. Rex, 3-1. Cy Johnson, 3-1. Stats, you're 3-1. And the fans went 3-1. So that were a popular scoreline. That you look disgusted, Carl. But if you leave it, you know, at the mercy of the gods, then this is how you get punished.
I know, but I thought we were in a group of people who actually knew a little bit about football. Like,
this is you're in a group of optimists.
This, This is my downfall with not predicting, is that I'm leaving it up to a load of lunatics to pick my result, which I'm okay with normally. Like, so, you know, but Jesus, 3-1. That's
even I didn't go that extreme, Carl.
Yeah, you usually do, like.
That's it. So, but I mean, that leaves the table as Rex now at the bottom with 10 points. And then on 16 points each, we've got Render, Cy Johnson, and yourself, Carl.
Oof.
Must do better. Smarty now, with his little win there, is up to mid-table almost. He's on 17 points. And then we've got the next three, 23 points each, which is myself, Gilly, and Adam. Then we've got Luke and Bren on 24. Stats on 26. And the fans are still leading the way on 27 points. They're putting us to the event.
Tight at the top.
Very tight.
It really is.
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to see what we all go for in the Manchester City game, which we will talk about a little bit later. They are currently 2-0 up in the Champions League semi-final. Don't bode well, does it, for Saturday? But
it's because I've got my free bet on Benzema to score any time.
Well,
so it's falling to bits.
It's looking like City might have one foot in the final, also against Liverpool or Villarreal in the other semi-final. I just want to touch upon, I know Bakari and Kate last night, the Crystal Palace game last night finished goalless. Jay, what did you make of it?
Oh, dear God. Well, it wasn't thrilling, was it? I think the highlight of the game for me was the Leeds fans singing Sky TV is fucking shit. Sky tried to turn the mic down and turn up the home fans' mic, and it still didn't drown us out.
Yeah.
You know, so much for that famous Palace atmosphere. But, I mean, the game itself, once again, we seemed unable to pass a 5 or 10 yard pass to our own player. We seemed to be all at sea at times. It looked as though people didn't know what they were doing. And I get being rusty after 16 days off, but surely you should also be well drilled. Mm. You know, people should be in the right places. People should be aiming passes to the right places. We just looked so disjointed. There were no fluency to it, no rhythm. We just didn't look very accomplished as a team. And I was hoping for a bit more, if I'm honest. This is the time I want to see us start putting performances together. And that's, in my view, the only chance we've got of getting points out of the harder games, if we're at least playing well. But if we carry on playing how we have last few games, I'm seeing a barren spell coming up and squeaky bum time.
Did it look like a performance to you, Carl? We haven't played for 16 days. Did it look a little bit rusty?
Well, like Jay was saying there, I think... strap in, lads.
That's about your jock strap. Thank you very much.
I think what Jay was saying there is pretty spot on. Like, there was nothing in the passing that gave me any confidence at any point during the game that we'd be able to string more than two or three passes together and then benefit from those two or three passes to maybe progress up the pitch. There was no, like, we got the ball and the first thing we did was try and get it forward as quickly as possible. I said it in the group today, like, I was like, it's very schoolyard football. Like, it's very, very schoolyard football. And maybe, like, it is working. As we know, the defense is a lot tighter, which is great. But yeah, I know 11 from 15 isn't good enough for any of you. I'm not saying 11 from 15 isn't good enough. All I'm saying is the style of football, if it's there next season, we're fucked. If that kind of hectic, like, with, yeah, that if that's there next season, I really don't hold out much hope for us, because unless he gets the players in that can compete in that kind of formation. And look at Scum, like, they've got the players they've got and they can't even manage in that formation. Like, I hate to be, you know, reverting to comparing us to them a little bit, but if they can't do it in the squad they have, well, what the fuck chance do we have of doing it? Like,
I like to hope that there's a solid foundation there. Like, the defensive side of things is a lot better.
Yeah,
There's still stuff I don't like. We still seem to get caught out a bit, like at fullback positions. Not as bad as we were before, but it's still happening now and then. And I am hoping that is just like a solid basis to build on in the summer, and that what we're seeing now is kind of needs must kind of football to a degree, but we'll build on the defensive side and up the attacking game if he gets the players he wants and he can trust them to play the tactics that he's telling them to play. I just hope that's what's going to happen.
Isn't it a question of this stage of the season, though, Carl, to points over performance? It's like something that's their style, really, isn't it? Because we come in to a job where he's got one goal, and that's to stay in the Premier League. And at the moment, with five games to go, okay, Everton got a game in hand, we will stay in the Premier League. Do we worry about next season, and worry about getting the job done by May the 22nd against Brentford?
I do. I think get it done whatever way is possible. But my point is, if that's the kind of football we're going to be playing next year as well, like, even if, you know, like, I don't know, I can't see that style of football working for us next year. And if it gets the job done this year, good, brilliant. That's not to say it works, it's just chaotic and we're just causing teams problems because it's mental all over the pitch. That won't work all the time next year. And I don't think, even with, if we brought in the players that people think we need, I don't even think it'd work then. It's far too narrow. We've got two of the fastest, trickiest wingers, and three even in the league. And we're sandwiching them into a fucking the center of the pitch. I know, like, I'm going to get shit for this, so I don't care. Like, we need to find width. Like, you could see last night, both Raf and Harrison were looking for the width. It's just far too narrow for me, and it's going to be. I'm not looking forward to Saturday at all, but we'll talk about that later. Palace were shit as well. Don't get me wrong. We weren't. Yeah. You know, it takes two teams to make a terrible football match, like, and they were shit, but we just looked lost. And I'm not sort of, one of the lads said earlier on in the group, it was like, you have to get over Beelzebub because we're never going to see that again. And that's not the issue. What the issue is, we've gone from that to totally the opposite. And it's just frustrating.
For you, Jay, I want to talk a bit more detail about Man City the second half of the show, but is that a bit of a free hit? I hate using that term on Saturday, but because obviously the expectation is that Man City will come through and win.
I've got to say, at this stage, Stats, I don't think there's any such thing as a free hit.
Yeah.
We've got to try and grasp everything that we can. And, you know, it's kind of like climbing Everest in flip-flops and shorts, but, you know, enough people try it, someone will do it. I reckon if we just give us all and we play to the strengths we do have, we could get a point maybe, but it's hard to see at the moment. I don't want to be pessimistic and writing us off, you know. I'm desperate to see us get something, but whether we will or not, I'm not sure. I'm really not sure. The way that we're playing at the moment, like, last night we gave the ball to them so many times and we couldn't string passes together or get any movements going. And if you're committing men forward and then you give the ball to City, they're just going to destroy you.
Yeah.
You know, if we do that against them, we're getting fucked. Yeah.
Also, we want to come to that game in a little bit more detail. Just some of the positives last night. Obviously, second clean sheet in a row away from home, not from that since last May against Burnley and Southampton. And I thought the performance of certainly Diego Llorente last night probably was best performance in the league shirt.
I don't know if that was his best performance, but I think it was definitely one of them. But
I think Bruce is having one of his best performances there. I've been here with him for the last 5 minutes.
He's old, leave him alone, man.
I know.
But I think having Cooper back in there
is
instrumental to the last two clean sheets and the solid enough performances at the back. I don't know if having Firpo back in there would make any difference to Dallas. Dallas got a bit of a few kicks around the ankle there last night, which if I heard correctly somewhere online, that he's been playing with a couple of niggles all season, but playing through the pain barrier. Mm-hmm. You kind of wonder against City, would you? We'll have that chat later, actually. But yeah, like defensively, great, love it, positive, sound.
Yeah.
Quick question for you, Kyle.
Yeah.
For Dallas, I know it's not related to Palace game, but you know, you brought it to me, Ed. If now that we've got this injury to Forshaw, if putting Firpo back in at left back means Dallas is available for midfield, would you take that, or would you keep him at left back and do without?
Jez, that's a good one. You know, I think I'd go with Dallas in the middle.
Someone just knocked on my door. Sorry, lads. You keep going.
And let Firpo maybe go in at left back. But
he's gone again.
He's gone again. Yeah. But like at the moment, I think we're just all so nervous now.
Yeah. That
there's bits and bobs that are kind of wrecking everyone's head, and I'm sure there's things that wreck your head about it at the moment, perhaps. And like just the final third play, yeah. It's difficult to watch. Just a narrow. I'm going to struggle with it a bit.
Obviously, Watford, I think, play Burnley this weekend at Vicarage Road. Everton have got Chelsea. We've got Manchester City. I think we'll know a little bit more come sort of, 6 o'clock on Sunday night, seeing what the gap is. It's so hard to predict at this stage. The renaissance from Burnley under Mike Jackson's been absolutely incredible. I thought Southampton were dreadful this time last week.
It's terrifying.
I didn't see the women's game because I was down covering the women's game up in Liverpool. So, yeah, what you don't want is going into those last two games of the season, home to Brighton, who we've got a terrible record against, and down at Brentford. And we all know with Pontus Janssen, Tom Grant, and or whatnot. That's for another day. But if I had to pick you for a man of the match last night, who would you pick?
Oh, God. Probably Melier, just because he made some good saves, and I don't think anyone else did anything particularly decent.
I probably, if I was going to give anyone, it would have been Meslier, or I look at Cooper, and there was a few tackles that he made there, and his reading of the ball when they played it over the top in the short spaces in our final third, where they were really good. Like he was tracking runners that Llorente wasn't, and he was keeping an eye, and you could see, I just thought his presence last night was really good. I thought from our perspective, him over Meslier for me, but Meslier very, very, very close second. Like,
but there's been a goal at the Etihad. They were 2-0 up. I'll just wait for Carl to see his reaction.
Fucking minute behind here. Like,
he's
go
a minute
for
behind
it,
yeah.
Yeah, go for it. You'll save me the shock of it. Like,
I'll save you the shock. I think, Jay, did you have a bet on Benzema to score any time?
I did, but there were a few other bits to that bet. But if he has, then
it's 2-1, and suddenly the game is in the match. But my mate's just texting me, it should be 5-1 Man City. But you get a chance against City, you've got to take them. And I know we'll come to that.
Don't let the fact they're doing this to Real Madrid worry any of you. It'll be fine.
Football. Hopefully they implode here, like, and they don't have to take it out on us then, you know what I mean?
Well, absolutely. Get it all out of the system.
We'll remind people, in the last two games at home to Man City, we've taken 4 points, 2-1 in 2003-04 and 1-1 last season. It was a different Man City in 2003-04, and I'm not going to get into all that detail, but they're a different side of the Kevin Keegan and what have you. So, and we actually won the previous game for that 3-0 at Ellen Road and they for a Venables era. But that's a story for another day. As for me, I thought it's hard to say if it's a point gained or not, because we won't really know until the end of the season if it was a point gained. If it's a point gained, we finish a point above the relegation zone, it's a point gained. If we don't, then Cooper was great last night. Lorente gives me kittens. I think we're all probably watching with shut half the time. And I'm sure this weekend will be quite similar with all the games going on. But yeah, I think it could be a point game. I thought Melier didn't have too much to do. I had to save a shot from Zahardin that was curling towards the back of that late on. I thought Llorente played all right. I thought Cooper played all right. Phillips, I thought, grew into the game. I think you could tell they haven't started the game since December. It's probably a point game, but we'll see come sort of May 22nd up to 4 o'clock against against Brentford. And it is all to play for. I think we're all a little bit nervous because we spent, 16 years in the doldrums trying to get back into the Premier League. You don't want to drop out of it. And look, the Championship's a great league, obviously. It is, and it's so unpredictable. But the Premier League is where it's at. And God forbid what will happen in the summer if Leeds do drop into the Championship. But we'll remain positive. We've got 5 games to go. Okay, 3 against the top 6 sides in the league. Brentford, but yeah, we'll let's see where we are in 3 games time after the Chelsea game, because I think we'll have a much better idea. And I'll be interested to see if Chelsea do put out that night, because they've got the FA Cup final against Liverpool. Yeah. 3 days.
The thing is, a lot of people are sort of like moaning about other people being disappointed we didn't get 3 points, and saying, oh, but it's a point. Palace's form's good at home. They've took points off this, that, and the other. But I think in isolation, that it'd be decent. It'd be a decent point. Yeah. But I think because of the games following Palace, it makes it feel more like we screwed up by not getting a win there.
Yeah.
And I think that sort of is overshadowing it a bit in terms of the fact that it was a good point. But like, I personally am gutted we didn't get the win. I felt that we needed it because of the upcoming games. And I think that's clouded it a bit, and it's changed people.
And I think with Burnley's form, Jay, that they've brilliant under Mike Jackson. I think sacking Sean Dyche, it's made it a little bit more imperative. But
I don't make any sense, that, does it?
Yeah.
Just on the note, the way you were talking about the next 3 games coming up.
Yes.
Without telling me which teams you think, how many points do you think we'll get from these next 3? Without saying the teams we'll take them off.
I think 1.
Okay. I think 1.
I think we'll shit out some draw somewhere. I don't know
possibly
where.
Possibly 4.
And that's it.
Yeah. 1, I think.
I'm going to stick my neck on the line here. And based on the fact that Chelsea have got a good game in the FA Cup final, I think they'll rest a lot of players. Look, I can't look over my face and what have you. But I think somehow we can get a victory against Chelsea. I don't know why. I've just got this horrible, strange feeling that it'll be like a 70s throwback. It's the penultimate game of the season. It'll be a full house. It'll be on a Wednesday night in May, Elland Road, 30,000 at Elland Road. Why not? Why can't we get a result against a weakened Chelsea side? I'm absolutely certain Thomas Tuchel will have an eye on that FA Cup final against Liverpool.
They're not allowed to bring fans either, are they?
No.
No, they're not. Rudiger's leaving as well, so he's anyway will be in it.
Yeah. I was just curious just to see what you thought there, seeing as you brought it up.
That might change if we get a result against Man City or Arsenal, Carl.
That could be your 3 points right there, you know.
Three
draws, or, you know.
Absolutely.
Life's a shithouse, but we all want to watch moonwalk.
We do.
Moon dance, as Smarty would say.
Yeah.
Something like that. We've touched on the Prediction League. We've touched on a bit of the Palace game. It's now time for a different segment of the show. It's Autumn's Bitter.
I wasn't ready for this stats.
No, we're doing the poll.
Oh, the poll first.
The poll
you
first.
You can't do this to me, stats.
I've been up the order. I don't apologize.
You've been panicked.
It's been a long day. Right. Refresh that. Rewind. And start again. It's time to go to the polls.
Twitter poll results.
So I'm going to be reading out the poll again this week. I've been working on this now, Smarty. I just want to just say I have been working on it, not to the extent of the, you know, the announcer on Britain's Got Talent or anything, but I'm working on it. So the poll, each week we ask the listeners to choose the main subject on the pod. So from the following: should musical instruments be banned from stadiums? Is this brand of football short term? What's the long term vision? Joffy versus Greenwood, who's first? In third place with 17% was first for Marsh. 35%, when will it end? And 48%, shoot the drummer. So I know Gilly is going to be in the comments on this one. He absolutely hates the band that go to Wembley Stadium for England games.
The Sheffield Wednesday band, aren't they?
Is that the... Oh, right, so there's
yeah,
a double thing there, like...
I don't know that.
Right.
Look,
what do you think, Stats?
I go to the Rhinos when I can, and the Rhinos have always had a band. And I suppose it's a bit different for rugby league because of the atmosphere that the music sort of brings. Now, having watched the game last night, was it the Palace Ultras that brought the drum by the looks of things? Does it add to the occasion? I don't know. I'm there to watch a football match. I'm not there to watch a concert, basically, if that makes sense. Each to their own. If people want to bring a drum in, that's their prerogative. Does it add to the atmosphere? I'll leave that for others to decide.
Yeah. What do you think, Jay?
Well, I kind of like the England band, but only at tournaments. It has more of a tournament feel to it for me. But when you hear that tune that, you know, the only one that they know, that, you know, it's England time, it's World Cup or Euros or whatever, and I quite like that. But I don't want to hear stuff like that at club football. I don't want to hear that during Leeds games. It's almost as bad as goal music, do you know what I mean? We don't want any of that.
Yeah.
Oh, here he is.
He's weighed in here now. Here he is.
There
you go.
Gilly, you most go. Tin pot shite going.
Yeah. I'll be honest with you, I kind of have to agree with him. Like, I'm not a massive fan of the music or anything like that at football. I'd stretch to a megaphone. Just stretch to it just to kind of get a shit plastic crowd like the city.
You won't
want
to give it to the bloke who stands behind me in the cheese wedge, Carl. I'll tell you that.
No, I figured that, all right, yeah. but I'd stretch to one of them, but that's it. If your stadium atmosphere needs an instrument to get it going, you've already lost in terms of how good your fan base is. Because if you can't get it going without a drum or a fucking trombone or a symphony of instruments, then you're not worth the shite. Don't call yourself.
I think symphony is generous for most of the ones I've heard, to be honest, Carl.
Yeah, well, you know what I mean.
Cacophony, maybe.
Cacophony of noise.
Perhaps.
I agree with her. Like anything to create artificial atmosphere, clappers, instruments, goal music, it's all tin pot. It's all tin pot.
A big no from me, tin pot, Alison and Marty.
I think something that you sort of mentioned there, Jay, I want to turn the clock black, clock back. No, he said it then.
Careful.
I want to turn the clock back to Euro 96.
And that's the name of the pod.
easiest word. Yeah, back to summer 96 and Euro 96 when that anthem came out, Three Lions and what have you.
Yeah.
And they had bands in the ground. I think at international tournaments, it's different, especially if it's a tournament in your home country. And I think it did create the atmosphere. England obviously got all the way to the semi-finals and then got beaten by Germany. And I think if you've got a band in for big international games, it's a bit different to having it at club football because
I think so.
International is a whole country, isn't it? And it gets everybody going. I'm not sure it works at club level with musical interludes and what have you. And we've been watching football for years and years and years, and I'm not one for bands and whatnot at grounds. I'm more for, I want the fans to create their own atmosphere. We've got enough songs going, like when Matching On Together blasts out on the tanner from Big Lee Nicholson, and when he does I Predict You're Right at the end, he's absolutely fantastic. So worse than clappers and goal music. Gilly, don't get to Fulham next season then.
Just to touch on Gilly's comment there, worst instrument ever to be produced, even though you said they're good at a World Cup or something like that. The Vuvuzela can go and jump in the fucking bin.
Oh, yeah, I can't stand that.
That thing can be burned.
Yeah,
burned.
Get rid
right
of
away.
It. That, bring back the kazoo.
If you go back to South Africa to 2010, they have the Vuvuzela. Have I pronounced that right?
That's what he was just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you not listen to any of that, what he just said, Stats?
I'm trying. I'm multitasking here. it's been a long day. Perfectly banned from all stadia. Are we going to put...
Yes.
I tell you, does Gilly want the Minister's Role for Culture, Media and Sport? Because the one at the moment hasn't got a clue about sport.
He hasn't got a clue about IT either, has he?
Christ, don't give him any power.
Anyway, this isn't a political show. We'll keep it all football here.
It's not.
Like, the, just to go back to the international bands and all that, there was, like, even at the 86 World Cup, there was a guy with the big bass drum, the Mexican. Do you remember?
Yes.
It was huge, but it's a banging thing. It's a bunch, it's a squeaky sound of the trumpets and blasts. Like, just no, lads. No, just no.
Yeah.
But anyway, yeah, sorry. I thought, you know, fuck it.
Well, I think that's been a little bit short and sweet with the poll tonight, hasn't it? Do you want to touch on another subject, Carl?
There's not a right lot more to say about that, is there?
No.
It's basically shit unless it's a World Cup or Euros.
Yeah, I think so. Well, maybe like the other two options are Joffe versus Greenwood, or is the brand of football short term? What's the long term vision? I feel that I could probably get banned from the pod if I voiced those opinions. So, what about Joffe and Greenwood? Last night when they both came on, we started not playing forward as quickly as we had been for 70 odd minutes. So I don't think we utilised them, going on how we played against Watford, where Greenwood came on, played the ball for two goals, but we were still pressing very hard at that point as well. Like, so,
yeah.
How are we going to try and fit these two lads in and utilise them to the best of their ability? Like,
I'm not sure if we are the way it's going. I mean, I'm all for Dan James and all the effort he puts in, but I still want to see a striker up front, especially in this running now when goals are so essential.
Yeah,
I don't think we can afford to have someone up front who's creating chances but can't finish them. I know that he does the pressing, he's brilliant, he panics the keeper and defenders, that's great. What's it done for us last couple of games? You know, not a right lot. It's essential for me that when we're creating these chances, especially while it's still 0-0, the most vital time, that we've got someone there who can put them away.
Yeah.
I know that Joffe's great as an impact player. Greenwood's come on, done well as an impact player, maybe not this time, but the game before. And that's awesome, but we're in a desperate situation now. If they're good enough, they should be in.
Yeah, that's the way I'm feeling at the moment. But if it was a case that we were going to try and use both of them stats, I think to bring Joffe on first to actually start panicking their centre-backs and then introduce Greenwood as that kind of Roman number 10 where he played against Watford when he came on, it just means that, looking at it, it kind of... If Joffe has the defenders already shitted up, then God knows what they'll be thinking when Greenwood comes on to add that little bit extra going forward as well, you know. So I think it should be kind of rotated that way a little bit, perhaps. But
I think it's interesting because if you look at both players individually, Joffe won us the game against Norwich City, literally on for 2 minutes, scored the winning goal. When Greenwood came on, against Watford, against Wolves, I thought it was a handful. He had a hand in one of the goals. I think it was Rodrigo's goal at Molineux, who actually went on to win the game 3-2, and I thought he played well against Watford. So I think the biggest thing from here is Patrick Bamford. Now, Paddy did an interview with Football Focus, didn't he, a couple of weeks ago prior to the Watford game. Yeah. He has stated, if needed, he will play in those last two games. It might come to that. We don't know. We don't know what position we're going to be in the Premier League after the three games against City, Arsenal and Chelsea. But it's difficult to balance them up. You've got two young kids, I think, have come up. Come Perth, I'll take 3-0 on next two. I think we all would. See what City are capable of doing. We will touch on that shortly before we finish the podcast this evening. But just going back to Joffe and Greenwood, it's difficult, isn't it? Because I'd say you've got two young kids, two great talents that have come through the ranks at different clubs. And I don't know. I don't think there's a right or wrong answer for it. It depends on how the game's going. Now, I don't know what team we'll see against City, because I thought when Robin Koch came on for Clicky, that he kind of showed us up a little bit last night. So, yeah, it's interesting when you want the development, but Gerdau's one of some important points. Also, you got the penalty against Wolves, didn't he, back early in the season in October to get a point against them at Elland Road. So, yeah, it's hard. What's the right answer with Greenwood and Gerdau? Is it at the moment that Greenwood's ahead of Gerdau, or will it be different come Saturday, depending how the game goes? It's really difficult to balance it up, to be honest.
Yeah, Gilly's just before Jay, I come to you now in a sec, man. Gilly's popped in with another comment here, which is good. Or no, not that one, sorry. That one. Think Greenwood is more adaptable than Joffy, though. I agree, and that's why I think play Joffy up front and play Greenwood in that 10 role, even though he's more of a natural striker as well as Joffy. But he is adaptable, like Gilly has said. Like, so that's why I would kind of say bring Joffy on, get him running at the defenders for a little while, and with Greenwood being more adaptable, he can then start to play that 10 role just in behind him. They play together all the time in that same kind of thing for the under-23s. Yeah. So, like, with that in mind, I think they might, you know, potentially do something like that, Joe. What do you think, man?
I think you're right, to be honest. I do think that I'd rather see Joffy up front and Greenwood behind and make him more of a nuisance of himself. Joffy's got the physicality to get into the box and cause problems. Greenwood's good for putting them balls through for him, and he's also there. He can hang around the edge of the box and take shots if it comes back out, you know. Mm. I think in that position, with him able to pull some strings rather than being the focus up front, I think he's more effective for me.
Yeah, and Greenwood is quite the free kick specialist for the under-23s as well. Yeah, so never have that.
But if both he and Rafa were on the pitch, who'd get to take the kick?
Well, wasn't Rafa on the pitch? Was it against Wolves? And Greenwood was able to have a go, I think, was it? Or there was a game
recently? Yeah, you're right. You're absolutely right. Yeah,
and Rafa was on the pitch, and Greenwood still got the opportunity to have it. Like,
okay, I don't remember that.
It went into the wall now, mind, but... You know, still, it just shows that they have confidence in the likes of them to step up to take that free kick around the edge of the box, you know? So I think those two are going to be really good going forward, but it just depends on how they're, in you know, put into the games and the times they're put in. Like, there's no point putting them in 4-0 down just for game times, because to their confidence, no good. Like,
how the game goes. Just, I just want to ask your opinion. What did you both think we saw Rafinha take the long throw last night?
Oh, I enjoyed that, mate. It was great.
Yeah, I didn't know what was going on there for a minute. I was like, what is he doing there? He's just like, you know, I'll take it real quick. No, I won't hear. But he actually took it then. It was weird.
It was seriously great.
Yeah.
It was great.
But yeah, I think we'll touch the Man City game very short. Just an unbelievable talent, and I think both coaches in MB and Jay are nurturing them both well. Mm. That's very, very true. I fully agree with that. You don't want to do too much too soon and overdo them. Look, we know it's going to be difficult against Man City. We're all aware of that situation. We're going to come to that game very shortly. But it's an interesting debate to have, and it's good to have the squad depth as well. So I think next year could be a real big breakthrough season for both of them, and they might both get more starts under Jesse Marsh next season. Obviously, depending what league we're in, if we go down, they might get bigger roles. If they stay up, they might not get as big roles. But a lot to be decided in the summer, really, isn't it?
We'll see.
Yeah, that's the thing as well. Like, I just hope they're not one of them players that we just kind of sell on at some stupid point in the season or some crap like that. And it's just like, sorry, lads, don't think we're at a point where we can sell the youth that are that talented just yet. Do you know what I mean? Where they're breaking through and just needs
I want to see them more involved. I don't want us to lean on them because it's too early for that, but I want them more involved. But I also don't want us to think, oh, we've got these guys, so we don't need to buy a really good 10 or striker or anything like that in the summer. You know, I want them guys as part of the squad, but
I think what probably helps guys is having Mark Jackson as assistant manager, because he's seen these guys every day, haven't they?
He knows them inside out.
They're all within the 23s, and he's aware of their talent. So I think that'll help. That give them the pathway to hopefully have a bigger role in the first team next season.
Yeah,
definitely.
I think so. Yeah. We have one message here for you, Stats, from Luke.
I agree with it. I said season will stay up, and I'm going to stick by that.
I'm sticking with it.
And he's also said that. So
thank you. I do that. I hope your presentation's going well. I've done one of them, and they're not easy.
That's a very good point from Mark, actually, as well. We've failed to mention that this is 5 subs next season, more opportunity for them to play. That will, myself and Luke were having a chat in the group there, maybe last week, but it's something maybe we'll chat about on next week's pod, just in relation to the five sub subject and how it'll affect the youth and stuff. So,
is that for both Premier League and EFL in case the worst happens?
Oh, I don't know. It's Premier League. I don't know about EFL. Premier League.
Yeah, not 100% sure of stats, to be honest.
If I do get on there and do drop us a message. So we've been to the polls. We fix footy everything. We try.
The football doctors, man. That's what we are, the football doctors.
We've done the Prediction League. We've done Palace. You know, it's time for now. And I hope I've got this right, Jay.
Hope Jay's ready.
Is it Autonome Pizza?
No.
Auto no better.
Well, it is now, Carl, because I can't keep putting it off. I'll tell you what, those stats, we need to give the floor to Carl here because he's got a little something to say, and I've got a little picture that I'm just going to show for him if I can find where I've stashed that. I think that Carl wants to say something about this.
Pointless stats. Yeah. No, not you, stats. Your stats are very, very on point. I just feel that shit like that is a waste of time. Now, the lads are going to pile in here now in a minute. Give it a minute. I think it's stupid comparing what Jesse Marsh has done now with 11 games over what Bielsa did over three quarters of a season. You can't compare those stats. Of course, Bielsa's going to look worse because he's played more games and lost more games than Marsh. That's not a fair fucking comparison. And I said in the group that I thought it might give people a false dawn if they see that kind of statistic about Marsh versus Bielsa, that he's, you know, the God and Saviour. We don't know what his football is going to be like next season. I'm not slating the guy. Fair play. He's got us defending well. And I'm just annoyed at the stat because it's a fucking pointless thing to put up. It's like the media have been trying to kick the shit out of Bielsa every chance they've got. Gary Lineker did it on Match of the Day. Gilly pulled him up on that one in the group as well. And there's a few other times as well. And I just think it's bullshit that they carry on like that, going, oh, yeah, you know. I see 6-9 points.
Carl's going to get us cancelled based on not knowing anything about how percentages work.
That may be the case, but I couldn't give a shit, man. You don't bring out stupid fucking stuff like that and expect me to just sit here and be all like, oh, yeah. It's not a fair reflection at all. And I feel it. You should, fuck that. Fuck it. Fucking shite anyway. Sorry, go on.
Person, which you'd probably never guess.
Yeah.
I don't think you can compare managers after 10 games. It's impossible. You can't do it. Jesse Marsh needs to have a full season, and then you can compare him to... And that's taking nothing. What Bielsa did at Leeds is actually phenomenal. Mm. And I'll never forget what he did
No one can argue with that.
When you change a manager, you can't just compare a manager after 10 games. It's a different system. It's a different style of playing. And you're going to get different kinds of results, and that's just football. It's like comparing David Moyes to like Ferguson, when Ferguson had, 20-odd years at Old Trafford and Moyes had 8 months. You can't do it. The time will be for comparisons in a year's time when we've seen where Jesse Marsh is with his squad and he's stamped his own authority on it, when he's going to the transfer window in the summer, see what kind of players come in, what kind of players go out. You can't judge somebody on 10 games. Look, we did that under Chiellino. And look where it got us. It nearly got us back into League One, and we haven't firing managers. Okay, the managers were wrong in the first place with Hockaday and Milanic, but you can't compare managers after 10 games, in my opinion. Exactly. Thank you, Mark. Yeah, I completely agree with that. And the time to compare Marsh with Bielsa will be the end of next season when he's had a full season. Yeah, absolutely.
And I agree. I agree. Yeah, 100% agree.
And I agree as well.
I also don't expect anything but 3 losses in a row. Anything is above. Hey, Lou, you've just said 3-0. Thank you very much. Make your mind up. But yeah, I know people look for, the media look for different stats and look for different narratives. I understand that. But for me, at this moment in time, the time to judge Jesse Marsh at the end of next season, simple as.
Yeah, and like was said in the group today, they're not his group of players. So if they're not his group of players, and how can you compare that then? Like, you know what I mean? people, you compare when he has his own squad in,
yeah,
his own tactics done over the 6 to 8 week period of preseason, his own players in, and then judge them then against Bielsa. And I think that's a fair comment. And them kind of statistics are only there to drive bullshit. It's like that other radio show where they just clip out bits and fucking make it sound like the new manager's a dickhead and
literally
stitched them up into a video. Like, but it's the same thing with those stats. It's just there as bullshit, like, in my opinion.
I'd say throw him to the lions, but I think Gabby Abgonlahor counts more like a hyena or something.
He's a cabbage, that lad.
He certainly is. I mean, on the flip side of the whole stats thing, I mean, you can only go on what's happened. You can only use percentages. Mm. It's the only method of comparison that they've got. And it's filler, isn't it? It's filler for the TV shows because there's so much time to fill now. So I can see your side of it, Kyle, totally. There's not been enough games there to make a genuine comparison because...
No, I don't think so.
No, you can't have to. It's just not a long enough space of time to measure the stats across.
But on the other hand,
they want to put some stats up, and that's the only way they can do it. And it has to be done on a percentage basis, and that's the closest you're going to get to if it's stacked one way.
With that in mind, why not take his last 11 games for Red Bull Leipzig? Yeah. Why not take them and compare them with them instead of going after the narrative that can only sell the controversial side of sports commentary like that?
Yeah.
Why not? But it's got to be a direct comparison of the same players at the end of the day at the same club. Otherwise, it doesn't work.
Leipzig are a far better team than us, and I can guarantee you, if you go over and look at their last 11 games with him in charge, they're probably about the same stat-wise.
Yeah.
I know.
But why not compare them?
That would be a strange way to do it. It's got to be the same players and team. That's what's got to be.
Of course it has.
They've got to compare the same team but different managers. It's the only thing they can do. It's the only thing that's relevant. The thing is that, you know, as you say, you don't like the fact it's done over a short number of games. It's not an accurate picture. I get that. And another thing that I think as well, whether they're doing it on purpose or subconsciously or what, you know, it's also another stick for him to beat Bielsa with, isn't it? So they can say, look, this guy's come in. He's completely turned it around. He's way better than that guy was that none of us liked. And we kept saying his football didn't work. And this proves it, look. And there is a bit of that involved, I think, personally. I think they're just trying to pat themselves on the back a bit, say, we were right. Our pundits are experts. They all said it. Now we've got the stats to prove it. You know, I think there's a lot of that involved in it.
And as I said, the time for comparisons will be, in my opinion, not even the end of this season. Because what do you have this season? 15 games or something to keep in the... But you can't. You can't compare and contrast with 15 games. It's impossible. The time to do will be when he's had his own squad. See where I am next Christmas. And see where I am at the end of the May 2023. And hopefully still a Premier League club. Just before we head into the Manchester City game, I just want to give you some latest scores. Some big games going on around the country tonight. In the Championship, Barnes 1-0, Blackpool 1. Nothing game there. Barnes sat the manager yesterday. Big, big games in South Wales tonight. Swansea City 3, Bournemouth 0. They are blowing up for promotion, which opens the door for Nottingham Forest, so winning one of the potential champions, Fulham. League 1, Wigan are going to go up tonight. Portsmouth 0, Wigan 2. At Highbury, it's Fleetwood Town 2, Sheffield Wednesday 1. They really need a result, the Owls, to jump back into the playoff slots. And it's Sunderland 0, Rotherham United 1. Rotherham at the moment looking good for automatic promotion. League 2, Exeter 1, Barrow 1. Mansfield 1, Stevenage 0. Swindon 2, Forest Green 0. And Leeds United Conquerors back in 2017, St. United 2, Crawley 0. And in the Champions League at half-time, it's Manchester City 2, Real Madrid 1. We're getting to that sort of nitty-gritty time of the season, aren't we, lads? The business end of the season.
Well, I'm just going to say, Stats, I'm a little bit worried that you may be using us to try and get a job on Sky Sports.
What's going on here? Would like to be my agent.
It is PT, no
doubt. That's a dream. That's a dream. But there you scores on the doors. We will update you before the end of the show. Right, guys, it's time to look forward. I say look forward with a little bit of foundation. It's Manchester City on Saturday, 5:30 kick-off time, front of the Sky TV cameras. Jay, what do we do? Pray?
Pray
to Jesus.
Get really... I can't help you. get really drunk, enjoy it as best we can. Get so pissed you can't remember it, probably.
Pretend definitely like it's Christmas Day.
Oh, God. This is going to be the first game I've gone to in years where I'm just absolutely terrified of how bad it's going to be. I mean, even that Arsenal game when we had no players, you know, at least there was a bit of a fuck it, you know, us against the world vibe going on that day. And it was like a party atmosphere in the ground. It was great. But I don't see that this weekend. I see it as a lot of trepidation, a lot of fear. Everyone just hoping and praying we can get something. Well, not a single person in the ground believes it. And that's just the way it's going to be, I think. I'm terrified of seeing us do our sloppy passes and give the ball away and give it, you know, straight to the feet of some of the most gifted players in Europe to see what they can do to us. I mean, fuck me. It's going to be a bloodbath.
How's this fucking card? Do we put... Can we put him in behind the ball? I don't really know.
Can we put 11 behind? City play with no striker, so we could do it too. It's just we'll be defending for the entire game.
Yeah.
Well, that's some fantastic insight there, Carl.
Well, I didn't know you'd come to me there. I'll be perfectly honest with you. I just want to just put this up. I had it up there a minute ago. Where is it? There it is.
He's taking over the show here.
This is what I'm afraid of. Luke has mentioned. Realistically, our goal difference is taking a hiding. I don't care about what the result is. Our goal difference is bad enough as it is. It cannot take another pasting.
Does it matter?
It will matter come the end of the season, man. We've got the worst goal difference down there by Norwich.
We already have, and no one's going to get anywhere near it. So it's already something that's gone for me. It's fucked. We're not getting that back.
No, I know. Yeah, I know we're not getting it back. I'm worried about it. You know, but... I don't know if that's Alison or if that's Marty, but best of luck with that.
Just in case it's Alison that you said that, isn't it?
Yeah, best of luck. honestly, I think with the chat we had earlier on about City playing in cup finals and bloody European semi-finals and stuff like that, they're probably going to play a weakened side, but we all know that their weakened side is still going to be like their starting 11. And
exactly.
It's the one thing we have going for us at the moment is that we actually look like we can defend doggedly for 90 minutes and not give them an awful lot of space.
Yeah.
The only thing I'd be frightful of is if they're playing their second string, they're going to have Sterling on just dinking balls over the top in between the left and left centre back and the left back and the same on the right. They're
might
just going
to bring back Junior Firpo.
Man, I don't know. Like they're going to try and exploit any gaps that they've, you know, found out from watching us at the moment. They'll exploit them like mad. Like Gallagher did it last night with one ball over the top, and Dallas was on his heels straight away. Like, you know what I mean? But I just feel if we can kind of defend as well as we have been, then we're absolutely fine. Like, but while I say absolutely fine, I mean like we'll keep it below
a strong term.
We'll keep it below double figures is what I mean by absolutely fine. So yeah, we'll just see how it goes. I'm going to it, so I don't know if I'm looking forward to it or what the hell is going to go on with me at all. Like, but we'll
see. To be honest, I'd do that day. So I'm. Because the game's been moved to like 5:30 or whatever it is, I'm going to go out for a few beforehand, then come to the game, then go back to town. So, you know, I'll be there, but I won't be there, if you know what I mean. So, fuck it. Be right.
Yeah. We've got a comment here from Mark again.
There's some effort.
9 worse than Everton's. Chelsea might bang a few in against them.
Chelsea can't score a goal.
Talking Manchester City, 3-1.
Save that for us. All right, okay.
So behind on my stream.
Great. Need that bench for tonight. This is players that are probably trying and will probably start on Saturday. Fernandinho, Ilkay Gundogan, Nathan Ake, Jack Grealish, Raheem Sterling, Zach Stefan. Maybe I don't know if he'll get a game on Saturday after he's made in the FA Cup semi final. You've got hundreds of millions of pounds of talent on the bench there, haven't you?
They'll probably have Grealish on against us and he'll tear us to shreds just to really wind us all up.
It's absolutely insane the amount of talent they have. And when you think about it as well, like, they haven't ever spent, like, I think the most expensive player before Grealish was only 68 million or something.
Oh, like,
but Grealish was 100, like, but that like,
oh, you mean
think about
before
it,
him? Sorry.
Yeah, yeah, when you think about it, the amount of money they've spent compared to the likes of Chelsea and all them boys, where they've spent billions, like, now granted they have spent a lot of money, like, don't get me wrong, but to say that their most expensive, their the club record signing up until Grealish was 68 million, like,
yeah,
you know, that's you know, it's testament to the style of football. There you go, just seen it. We've got one here. Can't we try park the bus and see how that goes? I think why not. Everyone did it against us when we had Bielsa.
If ever there's a game when we should play Dan James up front, this is the one. Everyone defending, James on the halfway line, and just trying to ping a ball out, honestly, and see if he can get on it. He's like a dog chasing cars. If he catches it, he won't know what to do with it. So if he gets in front of the goal, he'll blast it somewhere else. But, you know, at least we'll have some chances.
Welcome to the party, Luke.
Yeah,
Welcome to the party, pal.
3-1 City is what Luke's going with. Who's jotting down the predictions this week? Get that down quick.
Score in tonight's game, Carl.
Come on now. Fair enough.
Right. Do we dare predict?
God. God.
There's a big score at the Etihad.
Oh, for fuck's sake, man.
It's 3-2.
They're still showing the replay from the last goal.
What a semi-final got in prospect to the second leg.
Oh, for God's sake. I feel like we're just going to shit here.
No, we're not. We're sound. We're keeping it totally together. So we're doing predictions now. Right, okay. So, stats, what are you going with?
Head or heart.
Go with your heart.
Bugger it. I'm going to go 1-1. Don't ask me why. I'm going to go 1-1. Wow.
Last season, 1-1.
Wow.
Why? I don't know.
Jay?
Fuck it. I'm just going to go for a really mad game. 3-3.
Yeah. Fucking hell. I'm actually going to give a prediction because I don't know if... Because we're playing City.
This is a big moment.
It's City, though, isn't it? It's like, does anyone really give us a hope? Like,
you can't curse us against City, I don't think.
All right, then I'll go 3-1 Leeds.
Hey! Oh,
fucking hell!
You said I can't curse us. If there's anything, it's not going to be any worse than that. Like, you know what I mean? Bloody hell, that's some goal.
I ain't seen any of them, to be fair. I'm concentrating on this with you boys.
Well, we can go into it. No one's expecting anything deep down, and maybe that's better if we're a little bit of underdogs. It sounds like Real Madrid are taking the game to them this evening at the Etihad, so I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it might be a case that... is this over one leg, is it?
Two legs,
all right, okay. What? They had a tournament this year where it was over one leg, was it? That was a couple of years ago when they
had the COVID and they had the semi-finals over one game back in 2020.
Mm. All right, I thought they had a one-leg thing this season in one of the competitions.
I think that was one of the domestic cups, wasn't it?
Oh, perhaps, yeah.
I think. It was one of them. They had one of them. I can't remember which one it was.
Yeah, it was a domestic
cup. They had one leg.
Fans, give us a prediction there. See who gets in first, and we go from there. I don't know. Does anyone have anything else that they might want to get off their chest?
No.
We're here. Good. Talk to us, man. Oh,
God, I can't think of anything off the top of my head, to be honest.
Luke's made a good point there as well. Like, do you want to read that out, Stats, do you?
Yeah, the next leg is next week. Every chance at rest, I'm a Slava Team 11 internationals. That's Man City for you. That's why they're one of the strongest teams in Europe and in world football. But
yeah.
Look, as I've always said, these are the games you get promoted for. These are the games you want to be involved in. Now, that will be Seeds. That'll be Lins.
That's a fans' prediction there.
That's a fans' prediction. Mark Rawlson's got us in there.
We will take 1-0 leads. These are the games that you want to be involved in.
Yeah.
And let's see. Let's give it a real good go. And who knows? Who knows? There's no pressure. Well, there is pressure, but there's no pressure because no one's expecting us to get his result on Saturday. So let's see.
Who do you think is going to play in that game, guys? Same team?
Yeah, I probably said the same team.
The only change might be Robin Koch in for Matthijs Glick. I don't know. We'll see. Jesse will have his press conference on Thursday. I would imagine it'll be 2 days before the game. Luke pitching 1-1. I'll be delighted with that. So that there's not too much you can do to change it, really. So,
do you think he starts with James up front again, or do you think we're seeing?
Yeah, I think he will. I think he will, and I'm sure I'll be watching this evening. Jesse, we're making notes, and what have you. I know we're not Real Madrid. We're playing the same colour shirts as Real Madrid. I think they're in navy blue tonight. Let's give it a go. Let's see what we can do, and you never know. Football can be a strange game this time of the season.
It certainly can, but I just want to see us go out there and give it our all. Rest of this running now, I just want to see maximum effort. Do you know what? If we don't get the job done, we don't get it done, and I'd be absolutely gutted.
Yeah.
But as long as they go out and they leave it all out there, that's what matters for me now. That's what I want to see.
There was maximum effort last night. There was just nothing in between.
There was good effort last night. But you know, they've got to keep that level up, and hopefully they can start to play a little bit better on top. You know,
the main thing is we're bloody fit. We'll run forever. That's the other thing about us. Like, we're fit as fiddles, you know.
It's clear that like the change in training hasn't really caused that to drop off at all, which is encouraging. And we're a bit worried about that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
We're a bit worried that they might stop running as much and start backing off a bit, but they don't look like they have. And we outran them for something like the sixth or seventh game in a row last night. So, you know, we're still doing that part of the game. It's still there. It's just we're so disjointed at the moment with the tactics that we don't look like we're doing that much work, but we are. I just want to see a bit more reward for it. I want to see it come together a little bit. Some of these passing moves come off.
Maybe Saturday the day. We shall see.
Maybe.
Right, we're about to wrap it up. Jay, it's been an absolute pleasure once again.
Anytime, mate. Anytime. Good to see you.
Carl, thank you very much. It's been a wonderful evening, a wonderful entertaining evening once more.
Cheers yourself.
I've been Alfie Stats. That's been Positive Jay. That's been Carl. Thank you very much, and thank you for watching.
Adios.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Thank you for listening to another Otto No Better podcast, the Independent League United podcast. You can engage with us via our socials on YouTube and Twitter at the address @OttoNoBetter with your thoughts on the show or subjects you'd like us to discuss. You can even join us live and have your say while we're recording on our YouTube channel for the main weekly show and the Berardi and Coke Aftermatch podcasts. We have 3 years' worth of content you can listen back to, from interviews with former Leeds players and managers to Hollywood stars. Maybe choose carefully which match reviews to check out, though. Remember to subscribe on whichever app you choose to follow us on.